9 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Now you cut that fence and get this platoon on the move!
Well, listen, you crummy, flat-footed copper. I'll show you whether I lost my nerve and my brains.
Man, we like to feel that we can get out of trouble quicker than we got into it.
I'm not fighting for anything anymore except myself. I'm the only cause I'm interested in.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. This is the Mountain Pass Podcast. Your host, TJ Martinell at tjmartinell.com. Coming to you from a homestead near or in the heart of Cascadia. Date is August 30th, 2021. And this is the real lalelulelo episode. Where do I even begin? I took some time off from doing the podcast because things were obviously, I'm a little bit in flux in my living situation and dealing with the house sale and all that kind of stuff. But I also was seeing what was going on in other parts of the world that may have potentially involved the United States of America. And wanted to give a comment on it for the podcast, but I wanted to see how things played out. And sometimes you got to let the dust settle. And being a reporter, I can tell you this, what we are hearing is not all the information. We don't have enough of the facts to really know for sure what transpired over there. But I think it is a good context to really go into a larger point that I think some people may not have really thought about. There is this perception of competency that I think people need to really realize does not exist in various, it's not just the federal government. Because people watching what was going on in Afghanistan, just the word to describe it is not a disaster so much as it was just pure dysfunctional behavior. You had a withdrawal that there was no plan involved, and they were giving lists, from what I understand, of Americans and others to the Taliban in the hopes that they would let them evacuate, and they basically gave them a kill list. I mean, this is like letting Hitler know in advance, we're going to invade Normandy on June 6th. Can you guys not shoot us as we come out of the boats? And this really, I think, goes against this idea that just the sheer amount of incompetence, I think it bothers people for a couple of reasons. One, if you are old enough, you remember a time where you're watching some cartoon or TV show or you're playing a video game and the people, the bad guys, tend to be powerful, smart, competent people. And the best example I can give is from the video game. I almost said movie because it is a movie. It's like a 6-hour. The cutscenes are like 4.5 hours long. The video game Metal Gear 2 Sons of Liberty. And it's been out for 20 years, so I'm not spoiling anything for anybody who actually wants to play it or just watch the cutscenes on YouTube. This is a video game that the story essentially is that there is a powerful cabal of influential men that are running the United States of America. They're known as the Patriots or the Lalelulelo. They're very secretive. They're essentially all powerful. And they want to use a device that controls the digital flow of information to censor knowledge. And the reason why it kind of tapped into our understanding of bad guys and villains and all that kind of stuff is because it makes sense. Like, you're being ruled by somebody who's more powerful than you. You're being ruled by somebody who's smarter than you. You're being ruled by someone who is just more cunning. There's a sense of awesomeness to their evil. Like, you understand how they got into those positions because they are very powerful. They are very good at what they do. And I think that that goes back to the second reason why people may struggle with the idea of being ruled by completely just broken people. What does that say about us? That we are ruled by broken people. So I'm going to try and give my own theory as to what's going on, because I've seen enough of this go on. It's difficult for me to describe it other than I saw at a micro, small level, a sample of what I'm seeing playing out at a national level, an international level, but particularly within the United States. We like to think that they're the bad guys, for those of us who, you know, are looking at it from that perspective, who look at it being there's these really intelligent, really smart people who are just completely manipulating us and completely controlling everything and all that other stuff. Smart people who are, you know, there is something to be feared and respected among them. There's a sense of that they are capable of doing some basic things in life. And the reality, when you pull away the curtain, when you reveal the naked truth, it's that the most powerful people in the world are the most incompetent, dysfunctional people you will ever meet. And this is just look at who is running the country right now publicly. What you have are people who are broken, but they're surrounded by people who are competent enough to keep things going on some basic level, but they're also broken and they see the person who's in leadership as someone to submit to. You have, for those of you who've seen Band of Brothers, you have a Foxhole Norman. There was this commander of Easy Company who was just completely incompetent. And he couldn't make basic decisions. Now, thankfully, there was leaders above him who were able to see this during a battle and replaced him. That is not the case with our country. And I'm not just talking about politics, guys. I'm talking about social organizations and institutions. You have, on a massive collective scale, the most broken people in our society have been elevated to the highest echelons of power. And eventually, my theory, I have a gut feeling that things are far worse than what we're led to believe. Things are far more fragile than what most people would assume. Things are far more unstable than what a lot of people would assume. And it's going to become even more unstable as there are fewer and fewer people who have the competency to keep things going, but are broken enough to submit to or enable the system. It reminds me of this character from the book Animal Farm. There was the character named Boxer. He was a horse, and he had two sayings. His first saying was, Napoleon is always right. He's referring to Napoleon the pig, who is a allegorical placeholder for Stalin, and he's also running the farm. And Boxer's second point was, I must work harder. So Boxer works himself almost to death and blocks out anything that might contradict Napoleon. So Napoleon will just make stuff up or he'll say something, and Boxer's like, well, if Napoleon said it, then it's correct. we have a lot of boxers, but the country is running out of boxers. And I'm not talking about briefs, obviously. I'm talking about people who block out reality and enable dysfunctional behavior, unsustainable behavior. We have this assumption that people are in positions and they're capable, who are in positions, let's say, for example, with somebody who's in charge of the energy grid in a state, or they're in charge of like the public utility district, and you find out that they're not capable of maintaining that system. Like, they literally cannot do it. They just allow it to they control it, but they allow it under their authority to become dilapidated. This presumption of like bare minimum standards. So I think you're going to see even greater crises than what just transpired in Afghanistan, and it's going to occur in America. I think that we're going to see things. I'm going to keep specifics out, but I'm imagining that something big is going to happen by the end of the year. And this is something very important for people to keep in mind. This is not me saying something's going to happen because people made it happen. It's going to happen the same way a house that is not maintained eventually collapses. It's me looking at a house where the foundation's not being repaired when it suffered significant damage. The structural integrity of the building is falling apart. It's leaning to the side. It doesn't take much of a weather incident, like a windstorm or something like that, to knock it over. So it won't take much of a crisis or an incident or some sort of event for a greater structure, whether it's social, political, whatever, to collapse. I think people just need to emotionally and mentally prepare for consequential changes to the world that we live by the end of the year. It may not happen. I'm just saying it would be better if you did. There are many people out there that think that there are things that'll never change. And an example of that is the United States of America. They think, oh, one nation, indivisible. That is a sentiment. That is not a statement of fact. Nothing lasts forever. Another thing to anticipate is when people are very insecure about their position on, I'll put it this way. Leaders or rulers of an organization that are secure in their power don't really need to constantly chase after any possible threat, no matter how minor, or in some cases, manufacture them. What's happened is the fragility of our system here has been exposed. The incompetence, the ineptness, the just sheer indecisiveness. And they're going to take it out on people here domestically. They're going to lash out. They're going to engage in very controlling authoritarian behavior as a way of showing this pretense of being a stable, strong system. And if this were to happen, I anticipate at some point their bluff is going to get called. And I think that what's keeping the system intact right now is inertia and people's willingness to believe in something that, in my opinion, no longer exists. How much longer it lasts, I don't know. This thing could drag out for a really long time, but I think that the system has been so degraded. These are people also, keep in mind, who are not used to not getting their way. They're used to dealing with people that they ultimately can control. And now what they've realized and discovered is that they are not in control, that they are not in power, or that they are not they do not have total power and absolute power. They've never had to develop strategies for dealing with people who are either as strong or stronger than them. But I've always been one of those people who's sensed that that things are less stable than they actually are. You can't raise entire generations of people to hate their own country and then expect them to support it. You can't raise everyone to be obsessed with identifying as a victim and obsessing over their gender or obsessing over some grievance point in history and then expect a workforce that is capable of doing the necessary tasks to maintain that civilization. I mean, imagine instead this country had spent the last 30 years teaching people to go into waste management, electrical work, plumbing, going into some sort of trade where there's now shortages. There's a huge hospital staffing shortage because there's this disconnect in our education system between the jobs that need to be filled and what they're training kids to do. You can't maintain the civilization that was built here by obsessing over whether or not somebody holds the correct political views. I mean, this is where they made a huge error. They raised kids to believe exactly what they're told. But there's this presumption that there's always going to be someone there to do the necessary work. You know, the people who protest, the activists, they ultimately rely on someone who is not an activist and a protester. They rely on somebody who gets up every day and does the garbage runs. You know, they need garbage men and people who work in the sewers and people who deal with wastewater management. And people who are able to repair electrical poles and people who are able to work on broadband internet, construction workers, carpenters. Like, these are people who keep things going, and also people who work in the factories, people who work in an assembly line. Like, these boring, non-sexy jobs, often thankless jobs, that is what keeps civilization running. And as far as leadership is concerned, at some point you have to have someone who is competent enough to make the most basic decisions. But we haven't, in the USA, there has been a absolute fixation and myopic focus on being as woke as possible. You have mentally ill people running federal agencies. You have aspects of the military where there's just their training is not strong enough. Discipline is not strong enough. It's not about winning wars. It's not about defeating the enemy on the battlefield. It's about adhering to an ideology. An ideology that is rooted in being a victim. Well, guess what? Victims don't win. And militaries full of soldiers that are taught to identify as a victim are not going to win. But I hate to throw away any romantic notions someone might have about facing down some big bad enemy. What you will find, the people actually running this country, trust me, think of the most broken, pathetic, pitiful people you can possibly imagine. And that's who it is. It would, if you were to meet these people or see them actually operating, you would be incredibly depressed. That people who can probably barely make a coherent statement. And things may get so destabilized that we see someone, there may be a so great a national security issue that a person in the military who is not woke, who has not been part of this stuff, actually intervenes. And if you want to know what he might say to the American public, there's a clip you can watch on YouTube from the movie Waterloo, where Napoleon has come back from Elba and he is having a letter written explaining his actions. He's now reclaimed his title as Emperor of France. I'm not going to quote it because I want you to watch it. And imagine yourself listening to someone talk like that, except instead he's describing the United States of America. Because the rhetoric in that clip is very powerful, and when used in the right circumstances, would be brutally effective. If things got bad enough, it would be hard to argue with the points made. But I'll go back to what makes it possible. What makes this entire system possible? It was people who are the boxers. The people who are like, I must work harder. Who, they may not be the woke. They may not be the true believers. They're just complacent. They are willing to just go and do what's necessary to keep the system running. When the truth is, this could have ended a lot earlier. And I'm not just talking about COVID or the stuff with the military or all that stuff. This would have ended if the average person in America had just a little bit more of a backbone and said, no, we're not going to do this. Or we are having a confrontation and we're not backing down. We're going to escalate until this issue gets resolved. But it's been one compromise after another. Except we're not a country anymore that is creating and cultivating future boxers to replace the current workers. I mean, there's apparently some machinery in America where there's nobody to repair it or work on it because all the people who were trained to do that have died. I mean, the skilled labor force in this country alone is going to cause problems. So you add up all this stuff and then the amount of money that's been printed out. It's just everything, every single thing that you think, any aspect of our country that you think is strong is not. I'm not saying this to be demoralizing or discouraging, just to point out some people I talked to were very emotionally distraught at seeing what happened in Afghanistan and they're seeing what's happening with the country. And I'd say that's because they had a false perception of how stable the country actually is. They have a view that has not changed essentially about, like, they have this sort of like, yeah, some things are dysfunctional, but at the end of the day, you know, we have this or this. Well, we don't have it anymore. They think the country is still the way it was 60, 70 years ago. So the takeaway is to have a healthy perspective. And to not invest emotionally into concepts that are on their final leg out the door. this is probably the next 2 years is we're going to see some very pivotal, monumental moments in the history of the United States, if not the world, on some stuff. Probably the most monumental since the USSR collapsed in 1991. What remains to be seen, and I don't have an answer to this, is what's going to occur moving forward. And what the world is going to look like and what the United States is going to look like. Because we've been on a path of unsustainability for so long. So what is going to occur when we have to deal with the reality of the world where, no, you can't continue raising generations that are have no skilled value that people are willing to pay for. No, you cannot continue just making money to avoid your fiscal problems. No, you cannot continue having military bases all over the world. No, you cannot continue to undermine the institution of marriage and think that making a more diverse country is going to do anything other than cause inevitable rifts. But I just would say the kind of what's sad is that we're not facing a rulers who are in people with power in authority over us or have power over us politically. We're not facing some super Saturday morning cartoon supervillain who, you know, may be evil, but he's got cool aesthetics and there's something satisfying about taking on a powerful enemy. Instead, we're dealing with some of the saddest people in the world. And what's even sadder is that they control people and get people to do their will, and those people could stop this right now. But they were morally broken inside. They're just dead. You know, I think what you have is a bunch of people whose spirits have been broken and you just don't see it. Or you see it in their actions. You see it when they're not able to stand up to things that are being done to them, things that are being done to their children, things that are being done to their communities, and things that are being done to their nation. Because they are broken in spirit. And my hope is that one day there's going to be a situation where people who are not broken, people who are competent, people who are assertive, people who are able to fix things are finally able to get into some position of power where they're able to do something about it. But for right now, if you are potentially someone who could fix the problem or deal with the situation or turn things around, rest assured, everything humanly possible will be done to keep you out, to keep you on the fringe, to keep you in the corner. Because one of the issues we're dealing with are people who are incredibly self-deceiving. They think that they're trying to help, maybe, or that they're trying to fix stuff. But they know deep down that were the right people to come in, they might be able to I mean, they can't undo the damage, but they can stop the bleeding, so to speak. So that's all I got for this episode as far as this discussion. I'm going to just dedicate this episode to this one topic. But yeah, you should go check out Metal Gear 2, Sons of Liberty, watch the cutscenes. In particular, watch the ending battle cutscene. I thought that was a pretty good climax for the story, but also it just becomes more and more relevant today. And it was made 20 years ago. And then there's also that scene, I Did Not Usurp the Crown, from the movie Waterloo. You can watch that. So, obviously, you know where my website is. You know where my books are. Just put out The Iridian. If you like Star Wars and Casablanca and The Maltese Falcon, you will love this book. So buy it and leave a review. So thank you for listening to the Mountain Pass Podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from a homestead in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.